Good morning, it's 8 o'clock. You're listening to KVNF. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. Democratic state lawmakers say a new law requiring universal background checks for gun purchases is working well. Data from the Department of Public Safety shows 2% of private gun sales were blocked because of the law. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Democrats say 72 sales were stopped because the would-be buyer was convicted or charged with a serious crime, like murder, sexual assault, possession of dangerous drugs, and theft. Representative Beth McCann of Denver was one of the main sponsors of the legislation. She says it's clear the law is working.
It just bears out the fact that you may think someone doesn't have a record that you're going to sell a gun to because you think, oh, I've known this person. And I think that the fact that we now have an independent agency that actually does the background check is really important.
A recent poll from Quinnipiac University shows that most Coloradans support universal background checks, but the poll also shows Coloradans oppose a new law that limits high-capacity magazines to 15 rounds. Republicans, who hold a minority in both chambers, say they plan to try and repeal the laws next session. They argue the background check measure puts an undue burden on law-abiding citizens. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The debate over how to manage the greater sage grouse continues in western Colorado. Most recently, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service criticized the BLM's plans for protecting the birds, saying they're too weak. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Fish and Wildlife also says one of the provisions in the BLM's plan would actually cause the birds' numbers to drop. Meanwhile, oil and gas and agricultural interests have said the BLM's plans are too restrictive and could threaten those industries. The BLM is hoping to avoid having the bird listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act, something Fish and Wildlife will have to decide on by 2015. But the Daily Sentinel also reports Fish and Wildlife wants the BLM to be tougher on man-made disturbances in the bird's habitat, specifically around the bird's mating grounds. Governor John Hickenlooper recently appointed a former head of the conservation organization Great Outdoors Colorado to head up talks on the issue. Hickenlooper has previously called for a compromise that would protect the bird without threatening energy development on the western slope. Comments on the BLM's draft plan for managing the bird were due last Monday. On Tuesday, we brought you a story about the Rogers Mesa Community House, one of two buildings recently named historical landmarks by Delta County commissioners. Today, KVNF's Marty Derlin reports on the other building, the Bras Hotel in Paonia, built in 1906. Both landmark designations are the first to be approved by the county's newly formed Landmark Board.
The Bras Hotel is a Paonia landmark, built in 1906 and renovated in the 1990s. It is now a bed and breakfast. Linda Lentz is the eighth owner. In 2006, she published a booklet on the Bras, commemorating the establishment's 100 years.
The Bras Hotel was, according to the newspaper, the only first-class hotel in Delta County. It had electricity and it had indoor plumbing. So they obviously had plumbing in the kitchen and so forth, but there was a bathroom on the second floor, and there was a bathroom on the third floor.
The hotel was built by W.T. and Laura Bras.
The Brases moved to Paonia in 1900, and Mrs. Bras bought the house next door. That was her house. Never had his name on it. I think she paid $300 for it, if I remember correctly. They had six children. Otto was the youngest, and he was 10 years old when they came here.
W.T. fired some 100,000 bricks on the empty lot and used triple brick construction, making the hotel pretty much fireproof. It's the highest building in Paonia with three stories and a basement. Its bay windows on the first, second, and third floors were impressive in a time when even one meant wealth. W.T. served on Paonia's town council and was also a deputy sheriff. He fetched guests to the hotel from the train station, which is on the south side of 2nd Street where the tracks cross. But it was Laura who took charge of the hotel and its 14 rooms.
She was the main person behind the running of the hotel. Her great-grandson told me that she basically was the one who met the guests, collected the money, laid down the rules of the house, and all of that.
The next owner was the Brass's son, Otto, who owned the hotel from 1923 to 1944.
He was quite an entrepreneur. You know, he also owned the Paonia Hotel, which is where the town hall is now. And he started a taxi service. Otto has a reputation of having been a very good baseball player. In the early days, the various towns had baseball teams, and they played each other, and Otto was quite the, you know, star. In fact, he played for a minor league team before he came and took over the hotel for his dad. He was married a couple times to the same woman. She finally gave up and married someone else.
When Otto died, the hotel was sold to Lura Atkins, who ran it for 26 years. A pianist, she often performed at the hotel, her fingers flashing with rings as she played. Other owners followed, including a muralist who planned to use the Brass as a studio. He painted a huge mural on the first floor that was later sold and carted away. In the 1990s, Julie Andrew undertook a thorough renovation.
The second and third floors, nothing had been done to them until the renovation in the 90s. So they had to take out all of the walls and everything on the second and third floor in order to put in the bathrooms. So, you know, it's a place that now has all new plumbing, all new electricity, you know, heating, everything. And, you know, it's just a super place.
There are now 10 rooms instead of 14, but the walls of room 2 were left in their original state in honor of the ghost of Laura Brass, said to haunt mostly the second floor. The historic landmark designation may help the hotel gain recognition from a National Historic Register. For KVNF, I'm Marty Derlin.
And you can see photos of both the Brass Hotel and the Rogers Mesa Community House online at our website. That's at kvnf.org. Patagonia CEO and Carbondale resident Casey Sheehan recently defended his company's opposition to fracking. As the Glenwood Springs Post Independent reports, Sheehan sent a letter to a group of Western Slope Republicans who have criticized the company for opposing fracking. The group has said the company's stance was, quote, ill thought out and damaging to the oil and gas industry. State Republicans from Grand Junction, Hot Silver Springs, and Fruta were among those who criticized the company's stance. But according to the Independent, Sheehan is standing firm on the company's position, saying the company believes the process of extracting natural gas is harmful to health and environmental quality. Patagonia currently backs two anti-fracking campaigns, Frack Free Colorado, which is pushing for a statewide legislative ban on the process, and the Thompson Divide Coalition, which hopes to keep fracking out of that region. Republican State Representative Bob Rankin of Carbondale described the company's views on fracking as, quote, inaccurate and misleading. And the Associated Press is reporting that governors across 16 states are launching a high-tech project for mapping wildlife habitat across the West. The Western Governors Association is hoping the project will make it easier for developers to build in regions where there's less regulation around animal habitat. According to the AP, the so-called Crucial Habitat Assessment Tool, or CHAT, will use detailed geographic maps to show the locations of habitat, wetlands, and other natural resources. $3 million to fund the project is coming from the Federal Energy Department. The states themselves contributed the time of mapping specialists over the past 3 years to put together the data. A policy manager for the Western Governors Association said conservation groups have said they could use the data to help suggest priorities for managing wildlife and resources. Energy industry interests, meanwhile, say they could use the data to strategize for developing in environmentally sensitive regions. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound coming up next. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.